Good morning. And our reading today is in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then 9 to 13. And you'll find it on page 1139 in the Pew Bibles. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Great. Thank you so much, Robin, for reading that so clearly to us. Great. We can think about this verse together. Now let's pray and ask for God's help as we do. Father God, we thank you that every verse of Scripture you have given for our learning, we're to live it all out, not just one verse. And yet, Lord, we know that we need to live this verse out. And so we pray that as we spend time thinking about it now, your Spirit may write this part of your word on our hearts. Write it on our hearts in a way that will change our lives in accordance with what this verse says. To the glory of your name. Amen. Open the Bible if you've got it there, because I'm going to refer to a few verses at different times sort of surrounding this verse, and also from a few verses earlier in Romans. So do turn it up if you've got it. If you've got a Bible in the pew, it's on page 1139. Or if you've got your Bible on your phone, then find it on your phone app, the Bible app. Now, New Year is a time of fresh opportunities, a time for new beginnings that lie ahead. It's a time of hope, reflection, and resolution. And many at this time of year are likely setting goals for themselves to make the most of the year ahead. Well, just as people set personal goals and aspirations for the year, so it's also a great time to turn our focus to spiritual renewal and growth as well. And it's with this in mind that we have a memory verse for each year. And we've been thinking about Romans 12:12 already, trying to learn it. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Our verse comes in a section of Romans where Paul spells out what a life motivated by mercy, characterized by self-sacrifice, and transformed by God should look like for the Christian. That's really what those first two verses in Romans 12 are about. It's saying, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that God's done for you, in sending his son to die for you, to save you, live this way. Live lives of sacrifice, lives that are renewed, minds that are renewed, and living in the light of God's mercy. Paul has a lot to say in this chapter about what a life will look like that's living in that way. But we're just looking at one of those verses in which Paul urges us to embrace God's mercies, to renew our minds, and to live out our faith in a way that reflects God's grace and love. So as I've already said earlier, Romans 12 has three parts to it, three aspects of this new life. Firstly, we're to be joyful in hope. Now, the Bible emphasizes throughout that believers should be full of joy and hope. even in severe trials. Joy is a significant theme throughout Scripture. It's particularly there in the Psalms. And it's promised to those who walk in the power of the Spirit. It's the second part of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and the rest. Paul, while he was in prison, he wrote the letter of Philippians. And it's a letter that overflows with joy. Can you imagine? A man is in a cell. Not like a prison we have in this country. This would have been cold, damp. He would have been chained up. And yet he writes Philippians 4 verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And he's not just saying those words. As you read through Philippians, it's very clear. He's just overflowing with joy, even in his situation. See, if we're to understand biblical joy, if we're to understand what Paul is saying here when he says that we are to be joyful in hope, it helps us to know, first of all, what he's not saying. Okay? He's not saying that this joy is to do with personality. You know, some people are just really optimistic, really sort of upbeat, just bouncy people, tiggers. Yeah? No, Paul's not saying that. This joy comes from walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not to do with natural temperament. Paul is talking about all believers. So it's not about personality, but secondly, it's also not based on circumstances. You see, Paul rejoiced even in prison, as we've already noted, because his joy was in the Lord, not in his situation. Similarly, many of the Psalms were written by those who trusted God despite dire circumstances they were in. And those Psalms end up being Psalms of praise to God. So the joy Paul is talking about is not based on personality. It's not based on circumstances. And thirdly, it's not superficial happiness. Biblical joy isn't about just going around with a Christian smile. Now, Paul described himself in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Isn't that fascinating? Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Paul's life was marked by hardships. He didn't go, "Great, I've got hardships, this is fun." Those hardships gave him sorrow, and yet deep in his life was this joy that just overflowed in spite of it. Because true joy is a deep undercurrent, unaffected by life's surface storms. So this biblical joy he's talking about is not based on personality, it's not based on circumstances, it's not superficial happiness. So how do we get this joy? Where does this joy come from? Well, Paul teaches that our joy is rooted in the Christian hope. Hope. Hope is the ground in which Christian joy grows. So Paul uses a similar phrase in Romans 5, verse 2, where he says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." See, Christian joy grows out of the soil of hope. It's a hope that's grounded in the work of Jesus Christ, who died to save sinners while we were powerless to save ourselves, it says in Romans 5, verse 6. Through faith in Jesus, we are now justified with God. That means we're made right with God. We have peace with God, it says in Romans 5, verse 1. This is the ground from which our hope springs. Because it's only through Jesus that we can be made right with God and accepted by God. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. And it's from this ground of hope that springs the goal of our hope, which according to Paul in Romans 5 verse 2 again, is the glory of God. Listen to how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17. He says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, if you were to go through the scriptures and try and make a biography of Paul's life, you will see that Paul faced so many struggles. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was bitten by a poisonous snake. His life was full of trials. And yet he says, our light and momentary troubles, they don't sound light and momentary to me. But in the light of the glory of the hope of the gospel, that's why he can say this. See, it's this hope in the eternal glory of God that will one day wipe away every tear and make good every wrong and make us say without doubt, do you know, it was worth it. It was worth following the Lord Jesus all our days in spite of all the suffering and struggles it brought. See, we get this joy, Christian joy, through focusing on the ground and goal of our hope, which does not change and cannot be taken from us. That's why, of all people, Christians should be characterized by joy. And the more we focus on our unchangeable hope, the more joy will characterize our lives, rather than the superficial happiness that's based on circumstances. If we're to obey this command, because it is a command, be joyful in hope, it means every day we need to focus on the hope we have in the gospel. That's why it's such a good discipline at the start of each day, or at least at a regular time each day, to spend time in God's word, because it's God's word that constantly holds out the hope that we have. We need to ask God that his gospel hope will flood our hearts in 2025. According to our memory verse that Joshua remembered wonderfully earlier. You know, as we live out the joy that comes from the hope we have, it will cause people around us to ask, why? And that's why last year's memory verse was, be ready to give a reason to everyone who asks you for the hope that you have. See, living out this way will give us opportunities to speak for the Lord. So first part of our memory verse, be joyful in hope. Secondly, be patient in affliction. Affliction or tribulation, as some versions translate it. It refers to pressure, things in life that crush us and get us down. According to the Bible, pressure and affliction are part of the normal experience of the Christian life. Some afflictions we share with unbelievers, like sickness, disasters, and death. Some afflictions are unique to believers, like persecution for the name of Jesus. But affliction is part of everyone's path. And it's not on your path at the moment, you can be sure it won't be long before it comes your way. 2025 is likely to be a year that will put you under pressure in all sorts of ways. That's why Paul said to Christians in the book of Acts, he said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Your life, my life, will be marked by afflictions, pressure. Often in times of affliction, times of pressure, we ask God for deliverance, and that's a good thing to do. God, rescue me from this situation, change the circumstances. Yet Paul also prayed for believers to be strengthened with God's power to endure afflictions with joy and thankfulness. That's why he says in Romans 12, verse 12, be patient in affliction. He doesn't say, ask for the afflictions to be taken away. As I say, it's not wrong to pray that, but that's not what he says, is it? He says, be patient in affliction. He expects much affliction is to be affliction that needs to be endured. God's power sometimes does deliver us from pressure, but more often than not, it helps us endure that pressure with patience and perseverance. And this doesn't mean enduring it with a grimace, gritted teeth. No, actually, rejoicing in hope is how believers can be patient in affliction. You see, these two parts of the verse go together. I wonder what pressures are on your horizon at the moment as you look ahead into 2025. There are likely to be storms ahead. But if we seek to be patient in our afflictions while being joyful in hope, even through dire circumstances, our joy can remain intact. And rightly understood, hardships can only deepen our joy by anchoring it more firmly in our hope. And that future joy flows back into the present, making our very real burdens and afflictions lighter. Be joyful in hope, says Paul. Be patient in affliction. And then finally, be faithful in prayer. The original word in the original language of the New Testament that's translated faithful here is used 10 times in other parts of the New Testament, 5 of which apply to prayer. And in the other 4 times, this is one of the times where it applies to prayer, the other 4 times, variants of the Greek word devotion are used to translate it instead. So think of times in Acts where it says the Christians devoted themselves to prayer. It's the same word here as be faithful in prayer. Paul in Colossians 4 says, devote yourselves to prayer. It's the same word here, be faithful. So you can translate it in different ways. But it's the idea of being faithful to prayer, being devoted to prayer. Because God wants his people to be devoted to depending upon him in 2025 and every year of our lives. And the way we show our dependence on God is through prayer. The normal Christian life is a life devoted to or faithful in prayer. So we need to ask ourselves, well, am I devoted to prayer? Being devoted to prayer doesn't mean that praying is all the Christian does. But it does mean that prayer is very much an important part of your life, surely. Being devoted to prayer is more than simply saying grace before a meal or throwing up a help me God in a crisis. Those are good things to do, but does that really describe devotion to prayer? John Piper gives 3 reasons why we need to be people devoted to prayer. He says, firstly, because the Bible tells us to. This is a command. Be devoted to prayer. Be faithful in prayer. It's a command, and if God commands it, we are to obey it. That's good enough in itself. But secondly, John Piper says, the needs in life, family, churches, world missions, and our culture are huge and desperate. We live in a desperate world. Oh, that God would open our eyes to see our needs, the church's needs, the world's needs, such that we realize we are so helpless and in desperate need for God to do something. We need to be faithful in prayer because, as the verse has already said, we're going to get afflictions. We need God at work in our lives. The needs are so great. So why pray? Well, the Bible tells us to. God commands it. Secondly, the needs themselves are huge. And thirdly, because God acts when we pray. And John Piper adds, he can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 years. Prayer doesn't mean that God no longer calls us to work hard and serve him. No, we've committed ourselves to do that. He calls us to do those things. But what prayer means is that there's a level of fruitfulness that we can never achieve unless we look to God to bless us. We cannot be fruitful for him without prayer. So those are three great reasons why we should be people devoted to prayer in this coming year. Because God commands it, because the needs are great, and because God answers prayer. Of course, being devoted to prayer won't look exactly the same for everyone. But it will look different from not being devoted to prayer. Let me suggest some ways to grow your prayer life in 2025 so that the term faithful in prayer or devoted to prayer describes you and me more and more. Firstly, ask God to help you become devoted to prayer. In other words, admit that you struggle to pray. Do you know, I don't know anyone who doesn't find prayer hard. I know I do. I struggle to pray. And I'm a vicar. If we want to be people devoted to prayer, we need to be honest about our struggles with it. I think we should start a group called PPA. Prayerless People Anonymous. To help one another with our prayerlessness. I'm serious. Not necessarily about the name of the organisation, but I'm serious about working together to help each other to be devoted to prayer. Let's stop pretending that we've all got it figured out and really it's going on in our lives when it's not. Let's be honest before God. And from that place, we can help one another. Let me help you. I need you to help me. The second thing we can do is, if we're to be devoted to prayer, we need to not only ask God to help us, but we need to actually plan to pray. You see, spontaneous prayer is good, but we need to schedule prayer into our diaries, otherwise it just doesn't happen. You'd think, wouldn't you, that a vicar will pray. Can I tell you, it's the one thing that I hardly do. Why? Because I'm so busy doing everything else, I haven't got time to pray. How stupid is that? And it's part of my job that I'm paid for. Woe is me, pray that I'll be a man who prays more, please. But you see, if I find it hard, I think you must be finding it hard too. I'm not talking about throwing up a prayer here and there. I'm talking about being devoted to prayer. So we need to plan to pray. And I'd say if you're not in a pattern of planning to pray, begin with 5 minutes. Begin with 5 minutes. And I would encourage you to do that the same time every day, because habits help you do something, don't they? So it could be the first thing you do as you get up and you have a cup of coffee and over your breakfast, you spend a bit of time praying. It could be after lunch. Try and fit it in with another routine to help it become regular, but write it down so you know you're expected to do it. Give yourself a note. Get into a habit. Begin small, but begin daily and regularly. I would tie it in with Bible reading. Because one of the things that people struggle with when it comes to giving themselves to prayer is knowing what to say. Dear God, God bless Mum, God bless Dad, Amen. Is that all we know? There's loads of things we can pray. And what the Bible does is it gives us fuel for our prayers. Can I say that this memory verse, wherever it is, pray the memory verse. The best thing I can pray for you, and the best thing you can pray for me from today is this. Is this. It's a Bible verse. What do I pray? I don't know what you need. You don't know what I need, you know, broadly speaking. There's all sorts of stuff. What we need is to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So I'm going to put this in my Bible, and every day, I pray every day, as in, I pray that I will pray this every day, because I find it hard. There's always something happens. I don't know, oh, I haven't got time to read the Bible, I haven't got time to pray. I'm going to pray that I will make this a priority every day, and I'm going to pray this for you all. Father, please help the church family to be joyful today, even if there's not much earthly joy in their lives. May they be joyful in your hope. Father God, I know there's a member of the congregation, they've got all sorts of afflictions, they've got family problems, they've got social problems, they've got financial problems. Help them to be patient in their afflictions. Help them to endure with your power. Can you see all I'm doing is I'm just filling out those three words. I'm just praying what it's saying there. Oh God, we are rubbish at praying. Please help us as a church to pray. Please help people when they get up each day to realise they need you so they speak to you. All I'm doing is I'm just kind of like filling out those three words. It's prayer. And that's just one verse of the Bible. You've got over 1,000 pages in little print of things to pray for people. So ask God to help you to become devoted to prayer. Plan to pray. Use resources. And the Bible is the best resource you can get. But there's other resources too. Here's a really great resource. Little book by Rachel Jones. Things to Pray for People You Love. And what she's done is she's taken various scriptures, and you've basically got a lot of things to pray. So here's, things to pray for a Christian parent, things to pray for a wife, things to pray for a husband, things to pray for a baby, things to pray for a school child, things to pray for a grandchild, things to pray for those who are sick, what a great resource. Get one. They're only about £4 or £5. That could help you pray for the rest of your life. Yeah, I mean, you don't need it because it's all in the Bible. But what I'm saying is sometimes it's helpful to use a resource that helps you to pray. You get books that actually have prayers. Thank you. At the back. Thank you, Jane. We've got these books at the back. And they're just full of little scriptures. You can take them away. You can pray. They're free. Take them. We can get some more. Yeah. We stock them up when they go. So it'd be great if they're all empty. Yeah. So get resources to help you. You know, we've got prayer lists. Why don't you keep a prayer list just in your Bible? Just needs to be a bit of paper. Jot down some things to pray for. Because the other thing is, as we pray, things happen. So it's good to thank God, and we can look back and see what we've asked for, or the people we've been praying for. We've got a church directory. Do you know, the church directory isn't really so we know each other's phone numbers. The church directory is really our prayer book. So you open it each day and you just take another member of the church family and you pray for them. I don't know what to pray for them. Yes, you do. Be joyful in hope. I pray for James that he'll be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer in this year, Lord. Please help him in those three things. Amen. Do we believe God works? God acts in prayer? Yes. Will it make a difference to his life? Yes, we believe it will. Just imagine if you and me were each praying for that, for each one of us each day. Use your church directory as a little prayer reminder. Yeah? And there's, you know, open doors, prayer diaries, there's all sorts of things we can pray. Finally, pray alone, but also pray with others. You know, it's good to pray. You know, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, you know, close the door. Private prayer with God. It's about our personal relationship with him. But actually, We have a personal relationship with God, but it's not a private relationship with God. We have a shared relationship with God. And that's why prayer is not only personal, but it's corporate. We pray with others. And I would just encourage you to be praying for each other. As we meet over coffee afterwards, we talk about issues in our lives. Listen, take note of what people are saying. Say and do, I will pray for you this week. And then do. Go back, note it down. Maybe you could say, can I pray for you now? And you don't know what to pray. God, help them to be joyful. Yeah, just pray this verse. We don't have to know the answers as we pray. We are just bringing different needs to God. God, I don't know how to pray for this person, but you know what they need. Please provide what they need. Amen. That's what prayer is. It's depending on God. We don't come to him with the solutions. He is the solution. So pray with others. Do you know, the church prayer meeting is currently the worst attended meeting in our church. You would think that if we were devoted to prayer, you would surely think that the church that you're part of, you would be part of that one prayer meeting if you were devoted to prayer. Now, I know, there's all sorts of reasons why people really can't make prayer meetings. But I'd just like to ask you, are they really good reasons for you? We've got the prayer meeting dates for this whole year. It's always the second Wednesday of the month. You've got them for the year. You can stick them in the diary now. If you've got a regular meeting that you can change, you could change it to make it, couldn't you? I think more often than not, most of us don't come because we're not devoted to prayer. Do you know, it's easy for me because I have to. I'm the vicar. I can't really not turn up for the prayer meeting, can I? Yeah? It's hard for us all. But if we're to be devoted to prayer, surely as a church we need to come together to seek the Lord. Devotion to prayer marked the early Christians. They met together to pray. And can I say, if you're worried about what other people, you know, people think, well, I can't pray very well. I can't pray. I'm not very good at this. Come and learn how to pray with others. I will give you words to help you pray. I will give you some prayers that I'll write out for you if that will help you. To be able to speak out prayers for other people, for the church, for God to bless us. I've gone on too long. But I've gone on because this verse, I want to see us live it out this year. Can you imagine if we're a people who are joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer? What is God going to do amongst us? It'll be wonderful, wouldn't it? For our community to see people committed to these three things. Let's pray now. Father God, please come in the power of your Spirit and change our lives so that this verse actually describes us personally. Describes me personally. Describes us all personally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.